Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially the visitors that we have with us. We have Dolores, a friend of Carolyn, worshiping with us today. We're glad that you came to worship with us. I really want to give a big thank you to the men that participated in getting this set up, the new projection system and everything. I know Preston and Curtis Sagita worked on it, Hugh and Daryl, and really appreciate it. And I think it's you know, I just got to live up to, you know, we got a better projection system. Now we got to have good sermons to match up. Speaking of good sermons, Daryl, I was talking to Daryl yesterday on the phone, and he was telling me, now I'm expecting, in fact, I kind of took it as a threat. I don't know. He goes, I expect some good pictures. You know, you're always talking about, you know, oh, I had some good pictures, but then the projector didn't work or whatever. Well, I don't think I'm going to have any complaint with him today, because we'll start off with that one. So you know, there will be no complaint from him at least. Okay, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. All of our message is going to be taken right here in these verses. It is listed on the top of our outline, if you want to use that. Titled this, A Living Epistle. This was written by Paul to the Christians in Corinth. This is a follow-up letter from one he had written earlier. And it says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Amen. What a wonderful passage. I appreciate Don reading it earlier for our scripture reading. We're going to look at the time we've got available this morning, that we're going to look at this passage, kind of break it down, and it says quite a bit. In just three verses, it is saying quite a bit. It starts off with the comment about, do we need letters of commendation? This was a very common practice, even today, where you have a letter or kind of a forewarning to somebody giving you credibility. And Paul used it even before he was a Christian. When he was a Jew persecuting the church, he got letters giving him authority to go ravage Christians when he was persecuting the church. He used those letters of commendation for a bad thing. I remember when I had just turned 21, a friend of mine and I, we'd kind of talked about a trip around the United States. We back then, I don't know if they still do, you could get a Greyhound bus pass for, I think it was 3 months for X amount of dollars. So we saved up, we mapped out all the different places we wanted to see. We just brainstormed, and all you did was you went up to a ticket counter and said, you showed them your pass, I want a bus pass to X place. And we mapped out, we traveled all over this country. We, you know, we saw all the things we wanted to see. And the elders of the congregation we worshiped in wrote us a letter of commendation. That if you, and this is before texts and cell phones and all that stuff. And they wrote us a letter to keep with us that if when we're in a town and something happens, you go to a Church of Christ. I mean, you've got our phone numbers and our family's phone numbers, but you go to a Church of Christ. And it was a letter that these are faithful young men. If you can help them, that would be great. Here's our contact information. If you need to verify them, whatever. And I think of that when Paul is writing to the Corinthians about these letters of commendation. Do we need, like some do, to have letters of commendation to or from you? The apostles kind of did that on a personal note. They sent Barnabas and Silas with Paul and Barnabas to endorse and to support the teachings about teaching the Gentiles. And the apostles sent Barnabas and Silas with them as almost a living letter of commendation, to give them credibility that the apostles support them. The book of Philemon is in a lot of ways a letter of commendation on behalf of Onesimus. So this is a common practice even today. And Paul is saying, do we need, between us, do we need a letter of commendation to or from you? There was no need with us. We know each other. We have spent time with you. You know me, and I know you as a group of Christians. And he says, you are our epistle. You are our teaching. That's what an epistle is. You know, we see where a letter might, a book of the Bible might be, the epistle to X group or whatever. And Paul is saying, you Corinthians, you Christians in Corinth, are our epistle. You are our teaching. We use you as an example to others. What a great shot in the arm. What a great pat on the back that the Apostle Paul, can use you as an example as I teach others. Amen. That's a great example, and it's an inspiration for others. He says, you're a living epistle written in our hearts. That says a lot. You know, something that's in your heart, it's not easily lost. It's not going to be leaving anytime soon. You hold things close to your heart. It's kind of just a metaphor that it's special to you. You know, when you memorize something, you've got it memorized in your heart. It's there for a while. One of these days, I'll tell you the story of the first thing I had to memorize in school. I was horrified because we were going to have to present it to all the parents on open house in the multi-purpose room. Scared to death. Our teacher, we were covering American history, and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. It's so long. The teacher divided it up roughly equally, and each student had to memorize it. And we were going to stand in line on the, I remember it, maybe one or two steps, on the little stage in the multi-purpose room at Twin Lakes Elementary. And we were going to have to present it to all the parents there. The teacher, the meanest bag of bones you could ever imagine. She would have been in jail today. I'm not exaggerating. She pulled kids' ears. She pulled kids' hair that got out of line. But I tell you, you towed the line in Miss Vince's class. Okay? I remember she didn't have a purse. It was a bag. It was like a big old duffel bag. It was a black leather two-strap thing. We're lining up to go to recess, and we're marked. So-and-so and so-and-so are monkeying around. We're fifth graders. Nobody has a brain yet. Two kids are monkeying around. And I'm thinking, even then, as a fifth grader, I'm thinking, oh, this ain't going to be good. Here she is in her support hose glory. She is sprinting past. She's running. She is running at a dead run from the back of the line because she could see it. She doesn't miss a step. She, in mid-step, she's cocking that purse back and hits them both. They're monkeying, knocks them both down. Get up, get back. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You didn't mess with Miss Finn. So we're up there. We're up there in the multipurpose room. First thing I ever had to memorize. And it seemed forever. So parents are out there. We must have lined up according to height because I was first. I'm having to start the whole thing off. And Miss Fent gets up there. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, blah, 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 blah. These kids have been working so hard on the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere and all this. And I'm thinking, who's this lady? She seems nice. Maybe she is human. As God is my witness. She turns around and says, so here's the class, they're going to do it. Hold your applause. She comes over, leans down, puts her hand on my shoulder, leans in my ear. Don't mess it up. On my knees. That's why I got knee problems, was from fifth grade. My knees were knocking together. Anyway, I still remember one of these days after church, I'll quote my line. It's in my heart. I've memorized it. It's been a gazillion years. It's still there. Paul says, you are a living epistle written in our hearts. That's not something you're going to forget. Paul's not going to forget these people that fast. They've got history together. They've been through a lot together. And it's not going to be easily forgotten. He goes on to say, and you're known and read by all men. Everybody around that area knows what you are because of us. All know and are impacted by the Christians there and the church at Corinth. And it's obvious. What a great legacy they will have, that people, not just in Corinth, no, you know, not in just that area, but people in the surrounding area. I think of us. We are a small congregation. But between living in Las Vegas and are exposed to so many visitors that come here from all over, the fact that we're live streaming now. We've had people every week since we've started live streaming, everywhere from Francine in Michigan to people in Japan. I hope they can understand me. I hope Francine can understand me. But we're exposed to a lot of people. And South Valley is making themselves known. When people come here, we will get emails back from, you know, in response to them, thanking the congregation for the warm welcome, for making it feel like they haven't skipped a beat, like it's at their home congregation. They thank us for the sound doctrine that is preached. Amen. Because going to another city, you know, and especially if they're searching for sound doctrine, that's a comfort when they go someplace and it is sound. And Paul is telling them, you are known and read by all men. This group in Corinth is making their presence known. He says, he goes on, not only are you a living epistle, you are an epistle of Christ. You are reflecting yourselves like Jesus wanted. Not only as a Christian, but you're reflecting the growth. We're going to talk a little bit in a second about why the first letter was written in the first place. That Paul informed them that they needed change. And that this growth that they experienced and the change, the repentance, is what Jesus wanted from anybody. Coming out of the world, you don't have to stay that same person. And they changed, and that's what Jesus wanted. And it's an example of the power of what the gospel can do. Amen. We are hopefully we are not the same people we were when we became a Christian. I hope we're our conduct, our behavior, our attitude, the way we look at things, I hope we have grown and are different than when we became a Christian. And that's what the Christians in Corinth are a perfect example of. Paul says, ministered by us. Paul spent a lot of time ministering to the group in Corinth, ministering to that congregation. Could you imagine the impact if the Apostle Paul came and studied with us and worshiped with us week in, week out, got together daily with him for study and for however long he stayed, the impact it would have on us. He goes, not only we minister to you, but we use you as an example in our teaching to others. That your example is being spread wherever we go. And it's not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. There's the credibility. This is not written by man. That this epistle that the Corinthians are was not written by man. It was written by the Spirit of the living God. There's no need, like when Paul would write, a lot of his introductions were Paul, an apostle, reminding the people of his credibility. The epistle of the Corinthians that they were was written by the Spirit of God, because they were an example of the gospel. And it's not written on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. This is where God wanted his word to be in the first place. This is not a new concept. It's not a concept that, the Old Testament, God wrote on tablets of stone, and now he's going to write it on. He wanted it on your heart from the get-go. Going back to Deuteronomy, he was going to write his words on their hearts. Jeremiah 31:33, he wanted it written on their hearts, and that he would be their God and he would be their people. That's where God intended it always. God has used different methods to reach his people. You know, when Hebrews 1:1, in various times, God used different methods. He's written it on stone. He's used his voice directly, Noah. He's used his voice. He's used his finger to write on stone. He's used a burning bush. He's used prophets. He's even used a donkey to get that message across. Now, for the Corinthians, that message is written in the heart. The history of the Corinthians included a lot of the issues in 1 Corinthians, and these are all 1 Corinthian scriptures here. One of the things that they were doing that they needed correcting on was they were following men and not the message. And in chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, he was saying, you know, some of you are saying, oh, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos. When in the history of mankind, with maybe the exception of Jesus, when has the messenger ever been more important than the message? Just like we said, God has used prophets, he's used burning bushes, he's used donkeys, he's used servants to get his message across. And one of the things in 1 Corinthians, Paul was addressing, you guys are holding some people above others. You're following men, not the message. Me and Apollos, we don't teach anything different. Me and Peter, we don't teach anything different. We're teaching the gospel. Don't follow men. The sexual immorality. I'll tell you, you think we're Sin City, Las Vegas? We don't have nothing on Corinth. It was a they had a lot of sexual immorality. And Paul addresses that. He addresses their improper conduct during the Lord's Supper. So many of the times, in fact, Tracy today read from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, where Paul was addressing their behavior and what it should be. Their immature attitudes toward miraculous gifts. Oh, I want to be able to do that. He corrected that and addressed it in chapters 12 and 13. He's corrected them. He's slapped them on the hand pretty strong. How are they going to react to it? He sent Timothy to check on them, and he has gotten word back they've changed. It could have gone the other way. 2 Corinthians, not that they were perfect, but they'd done a lot of changing. Nobody ever arrives and doesn't still have growth to do, but they've made a lot of changes since then. The church in Corinth is a story of regret. When Paul made them aware in 1 Corinthians, they regretted it. They had regret in their hearts. Instead of obstinance and defiance and defensiveness, who are you? You're not going to tell me what to do. And isn't that the way some people take correction? They get their hackles up and they dig their heels in and they're not going to budge. Not those at Corinth. They regret it, and Paul told them, I'm glad that your regret led you to repentance. Your sorrow led to repentance. It was a story of repentance, of change. And that repentance and change led to redemption. And especially redemption in Paul's eyes. You're no longer the congregation that I had to address the first time. I'm proud of you. You've come a long way. Are you there yet? Not yet, but you're you're coming along. The Corinthians were a living sermon. It was a living testimony. And Stacy and I were talking the other day about what's that saying that is very common? I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. That's what the Corinthians, Paul is telling them, you are a living testimony. You're a living, walking, breathing sermon to other Christians. They took correction, they changed, and became better people for it. A living example to all. And we can be that. Not that I've got a whole bucket of list that we need to change. But we can be that walking, talking, living example as we go out these doors on this brand new week. One person delivered a sermon in this last 30 minutes. All of us can be delivering a sermon when we leave. Amen. To our neighbors, to our coworkers, to maybe even family members. We can be what the Christians in Corinth have been. The lesson is yours. I hope it has encouraged you like it has me as I studied it. I know I want to be able to take correction and grow and improve and become better. And the Corinthians did that. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there is sin in your life that you have come to regret, repent, change. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not been baptized, you're not saved. And we have that opportunity now. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to pray with and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known as we stand and sing.